Well, the title of my message is in three words. It's I am his. It's taken out of Song of Solomon 2:16. That's Song of Solomon 2:16, which says, my beloved is mine and I am his. Do you hear that? My beloved is mine and I am his. That's a powerful truth. Now, he is mine is a good truth. But I am his is a powerful, it's a much better truth. No ifs, no ands, no buts. I am his. And, you know, I was born and raised in Northern Ireland, in a little place called Mahara. And up the road from us, there was an old lady who lived. And she always used to say, no one can know whether or not they're saved. You've got to die first and hope for the best. That's stupid. I mean, that is stupid. Hope for the best. That's silly. I want to expand on this truth. I am his. And I hope that you would get a clearer grasp of your salvation, a clearer grasp of all that's been accomplished for you by Christ Jesus. And may the Lord Jesus himself be magnified. So I want to give you six ways this morning in which we are his. First of all, are you ready? Are you taking notes? You don't have to, but it's helpful to take notes. I'm his, first of all, because he made me. Listen to this. John 1:3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Genesis 1:16. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Okay, did you hear that? All things were made by him. Without him, there was nothing. By him and without him was nothing, and there was not anything made. If you make a thing, it's yours. I am his because he created me. Oh, you mean, brother Miles, you don't believe that theory of evolution, do you? Do you? No, I don't. Just by the way, which theory of evolution are you talking to me about? You know, there are at least 14 theories of evolution, and all of them disagree with each other. So which do you want me to believe? No, it's simpler to believe the truth. All things were made by God. All things. You know, a lecturer at a university gave a big exposition on evolution, and the student caught the farcical nature of the theory or the theories. So he wrote a wee poem. And he entitled it The Amazing Professor. And so he wrote, once I was a tadpole beginning to begin, and then I was a frog with my tail tucked in, and next I was a monkey on a coconut tree, and now I am a doctor with a PhD. Oh, listen to John 1 again, verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I am his because he made me. Next is, I am his because he bought me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, round about verse 20. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies and your spirits, which are God. You're bought with a price. Hello, you've been created by God, and now you're bought with a price. 1 Peter 1:18-20 says, for as much as you know, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what redeemed us. The precious blood bought us. That's what redemption means. It means to buy it. So it means to deliver by paying of a price or to purchase to remove from further sale. Oh, there's a great wee story. Do you like wee stories? The best. Where do you hear this? There was a wee boy, and he made a boat. He carved a boat, crafted it, okay? And I spent a lot of time with the boat, and he took it down to the river, and he sailed it, and it was going great. It was wonderful. But the current of the river took the boat away, and all of it, down the stream. Well, the wee lad was in distress, and he cried, and he tried running down after it, but he just couldn't get through the briars and the bushes and everything. He lost his boat. It sailed away. Well, anyway, his heart was broken, but a month or so later, his father said, "I've got to go to such and such a town, the next town over. How would you like to come along with me?" He said, "Great, Dad, do that." So the boy went along with his father, and the father went off to do his business in the town, and the wee fellow could just look around the shops. And as he was looking around the shops, he saw an amazing thing in the shop window. He saw his boat with his initials, everything carved onto it. He saw his boat, and he went in and he said to the shopkeeper, "Give me my boat. Can I have my boat, please?" The shopkeeper says, "What boat?" "It's the boat there in the window." "Well, I'm not going to give you that. But it's mine. I made it." "Yeah, you made it all right, but it's for sale. If you give me £5, $5, call it." It was a while ago. you can have it." Well, the little boy said, "I don't have that any money." He says, "Well, if you come back with the money, I'll give you the boat." So anyway, he went and he told his father, and his father says, "Well, are there any jobs that you can do?" He says, "Well, I'll cut the grass. I'll do whatever." "Well, you already cut the grass. What else can you do?" And they figured out some way for him to earn some money, and he earned his money for the boat, and he went back to the shopkeeper, and he said, "Here's the money." And the shopkeeper reached him the boat, and the wee boy looked at him at the boat, and he says, "Now you are twice mine. I made you, and I've bought you." Oh, there's so much gospel in that, beloved. He bought us back at the cross. He made us, first of all, and then we went away with sin, and he bought us back at the cross, paid for our sins, paid for us, redeemed us with his precious blood. Oh, listen, if you're not a believer, why would you stay away from love like that? Why would you stay away from Jesus? Come to Jesus and trust him and believe him. Well, the truth is that Jesus has shed his blood and he has bought us back. And if the old hymn says, "If thou hast my discharge procured and freely in my room endured the whole of wrath divine, payment God cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hands and then again at mine." Jesus has died for his people's sins. We cannot be charged with them. Are you a believer? If you're a believer, if you've trusted Christ, you cannot be charged with those sins again. Do you hear me? If Jesus has paid for them, you're not guilty. He's paid the price for them. You can't be charged again for them. That's wonderful. Are you resting in that? Resting in the fact that you've been created and now you've been redeemed. You've been bought and paid for. Woo! That's enough to make you shout, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah!" But another way, we're his. First of all, he created us. Next, second, he purchased us. The third way is this: I'm his because he found me. Luke 15:6, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." And before you can be found, you've got to be lost. Do you hear me? Before you are found, you've got to be lost. You've got to know you need to be found. And if you don't, if you're very self-satisfied and say, I am just doing great. Hey, this is not for you. You're welcome to listen. But you don't know that you're found until you know that you're lost. That's an interesting question, Brother McKee. Did I find him or did he find me? A fellow back in Ireland was asked that and he answered. He says, well, he kept on seeking me till I found him. We think we found the Lord, but we didn't find the Lord. He found us. We were lost and he found us. It seems as if we found the Lord at times. But all the time, it was him seeking us. All the time. How many circumstances in your life was the Lord in the midst of drawing you to himself, drawing you to himself, and you didn't know it? I didn't know it either. I ran from God. I was lost. I ran from him. But then people would appear out of nowhere, give me a gospel tract, invite me to a gospel meeting. The Lord was closing in, but I was lost. He finds the lost. He finds us because he's come to seek and to save the least and the last and the lost. Did you hear that? The least and the last and the lost. Yeah, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm his because he found me. He found me. It's amazing grace. We just quoted it. I wrote a wee book called the most sung but most disbelieved song ever. Oh, yeah, well, let me ask you a question, Brother McKee. Why did Christ have to die? Great question. Do you know the answer? He didn't have to die. That's the answer. He didn't have to do anything. He owes us nothing. Do you think he owes you salvation? He owes you nothing. You're lost. But he saves because of his grace. Sin had ruined us. We didn't deserve a rescue. But he saves us because of grace. Oh. But why did he do it? There must have been something in us that motivated him to want to rescue us. No. There was only sin in us. And he saved us because he wanted to. He wanted to. That's grace. Well, he made us, so we're his. He bought us, and so we're his. He found us, and therefore we're his. Now, the next thing is, I'm his because the Father gave me to him as a gift. Listen to John 17:6. I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me. Then in verse 9 of John 17, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Oh, wow. I am his. Wow. That's way better than he is mine. Oh my goodness, the Father. Oh, the Father has given us to the Lord Jesus. Did you read that? You read that with me. You heard me. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Oh my. You know why I am his is better than he is mine? Well, it's because I lose things. But he loses nothing. Jesus doesn't lose the gifts given to him. Jesus is the shepherd who's never lost a sheep, never. He's the good shepherd. Oh, you see, that's that old Baptist doctrine again. It's Bible doctrine. Jesus is the good shepherd. If he goes around losing his sheep, then he's not a very good shepherd. I remember, some years ago, I was preaching in Port Rush down in County Antrim in Northern Ireland. And I preached away. I was preaching about Jesus, but at the end of the meeting, it was a cold November night. I remember the wind blowing and the rain beating down on the mission hall. Well, the custom is there that you go to the door and you shake hands with everybody. Shake hands. Good night. Good night. Good night. And this big guy comes up to me at the door. Oh, he was massive. He could have played rugby for Ireland. He had a big agricultural hand on him. And he gripped me and he shook my hand. And he says, I love you, Brother McKay. I love you, Brother McKay. But this eternal safety and this eternal security business is not in the book. And he got his Bible up, held it in his left hand, and with his right hand, he had released my hand by this. He went and he tapped the cover of the Bible. It's not in the book, not in the book. Not in the book, not in the book. I wasn't speaking about eternal security, but let me tell you, I could have. And we are secure because we've been given by the Father. Hello, do you hear me? Given by the Father. To the Son. Oh, and of all that has given me, I have lost none. Wow. 17 verse 12. Those that thou gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Did you hear that? Jesus doesn't lose the gifts given to him. Jesus is the shepherd who never lost a sheep. He's the good shepherd. So don't bring indictments against his shepherding abilities. His honor is engaged to keep the meanest of his sheep, and all that the Heavenly Father gives his hands securely keep. I am his because I've been given to him by the Father. He made me, therefore I'm his. He bought me, therefore I'm his. He found me. Therefore, I'm his. He gave me, the Father gave me to him. Therefore, I am his. Another reason, I am his because he conquered me. Oh, yeah. His grace came to me with power and conquered me. That's the way it happens. It's grace is conquering. Paul was in the Damascus Road and it, the Lord appears to him, he fell to the ground. And Saul, it's very hard for you to kick against the pricks. Acts 9:5. And what was that? Literally, it was the goad to jab an ox to get it plowing. And when it pierced the ox would kick out backwards, but all in vain. And Paul, you're kicking against the pricks. I'm going to save you now. Paul, how could Paul get saved? He hated Christians. He persecuted Christians. He killed Christians. He threw Christians in jail. Well, grace will overcome you and overpower you and conquer you. And we are his because he's conquered us. What about Lydia? Lydia in Acts 16, the seller of purple. Verse 14, it says, the Lord opened her heart. She was listening to the gospel, and when she was listening to the gospel, the Lord opened her heart. She didn't open her own heart. The Lord opened her heart. You didn't open your own heart to the Lord. The Lord opened your heart. You're saved by grace. If you're a believer, you're saved by grace, grace, grace. The Lord opened your heart. Way back in the American War of Independence, there was an officer in the American Army who was captured, and he was shot as a spy. Now, after that, his pockets were searched, and they found a poem that supposedly he must have written. It said this, and listen to the words. Hail, sovereign love, which first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless, free, eternal grace, which gave my soul a hiding place. Against the God who built the sky, I fought with hands uplifted high, despised the mention of his grace. I was too proud to seek a hiding place. Enwrapped in thick Egyptian night and fond of darkness more than light, madly I ran the sinful race, secure without a hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, Almighty love, arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress. I found that I had no hiding place. Indignant justice stood in view. To Sinai's fiery mount I flew. But justice cried with frowning face, This mountain is no hiding place. Ere long a heavenly voice I heard, and mercy's angel soon appeared. He led me with a beaming face to Jesus as my hiding place. On him almighty vengeance fell, which must have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a sinful race, and thus became their hiding place. Should sevenfold storms of thunder roll and shake the globe from pole to pole, no thunderbolt shall daunt my face, for Jesus is my hiding place. Well, we're his because he conquered us. Notice we said it and we read it in verse 4, Almighty love, arrest that man. Almighty love, arrest that man. Hey, if you're saved, it's because he saved you. You're his by creation. You're his by purchase. You are his because he found you. You are his because you're a gift. And you're his because he's conquered you. Well, you said there surely couldn't be anything else. That's a lot of stuff that you're telling us about. We are his. Yeah, but there's one more. We are his by marriage. Yeah, Revelation 19, verses 7 to 8. Revelation 19, 7 to 8. Now, this is going to be in the future. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. We're going to be married. All believers are going to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we're already engaged. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. I have espoused you. I have got you engaged. I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That's us. We're going to be presented to Christ. Oh, do you remember Rebecca of old? Remember that what your man came to look for her and bring her back to Isaac for a bride. And she had to undertake a big journey, a big long journey on a camel. I'll tell you, I've never been on a camel, but I've seen them up close and personal. I've seen them. I wouldn't like to have a go on one of those things. But anyway, you get a lot of jolting. And Rebecca got a lot of jolting, but she didn't get jilted. And we get a lot of jolts in our Christian life, but we don't ever get jilted by the Lord. Listen, if we take a hold of these truths, that we're his by creation. Away with this nonsense of evolution. If you're a believer, what are you doing believing evolution for? God says he's the creator. Is that not enough for you? Come on. He purchased us. Purchased us not with silver, not with gold, not with diamonds. He purchased us with what? With his own precious blood. Oh, that's a currency of heaven, the blood. That's why they sing about the blood in heaven. It was the blood that bought us. We're his because he found us. We were lost. If you don't know that you're lost, you're not going to get found. If you do not know, but you'd like to know, ask the Lord to show you. You know, sin will take you to hell. That's being pretty lost in my book. Sin will. You need to deal with that. Get a redeemer. a priest who will take care of that sin problem. Hey, by the way, just if you're troubled about your soul, write me, miles@milesmckee.com, write to me. I'll try to answer any questions you have. And we're his because we've been given as a gift the Father gave us to Jesus, to the Son. Isn't that wonderful? We've been given God. God isn't an Indian giver. I don't know. I think that's an American expression. He doesn't give and take away. He gives. We are his because we've been conquered. Conquered. His by conquest. It's like the man said, blinded by the light. I once was blind, and now I see. And now we're going to get ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. You may be concerned about the way this world is looking. It looks rough. It looks bad. But we're headed to our destiny, and our destiny is in Christ. We have eternal life. We're headed for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's good news. So, but Brother McKee, you're not worried about all the sort of things that are happening. You know, if I let myself go, I could. But God's in charge. God's sovereign. God's sovereign. And it's all going to work out all right for his elect, for his people. We're headed for a marriage feast. I'll read a wee poem and then I'll go. We're loved by an everlasting love, led by grace that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this transport all divine. In a love that cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue, Christless, like Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs overflow, flowers with deeper beauty shine. Since I know, as now I am known, I am his, and he is mine. Things that once were wild alarms cannot now disturb my rest. Closed in everlasting arms, pillowed in his loving breast. Oh, to lie forever here, doubt and fear and self-resign, while he whispers in my ear, I am his, and he is mine. His forever, only his, who the Lord and me shall part. Ah, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the longing heart. Heaven and earth may fade, may flee. Firstborn light in gloom decline. But while God and I shall be, I am his, and he is mine. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Song of Solomon's 2, verse 6. Let's pray together. Lord, are there those gathered who are listening in? We thank you for the folks in India. We thank you for the folks in Australia. Thank you for the folks in Europe and Sweden, the UK and Ireland. Thank you, Lord. Father, would you, if there's any listening anywhere who's not saved, would you conquer them? Father, use your power and save them. Rescue those who are lost. Find them. We thank you that you have paid a price of your own shed blood. Oh, Lord, Jesus said he would see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Oh, Lord, save sinners, we'd ask. Save sinners, save. Save, save, we ask in Jesus' lovely name. In Jesus' lovely name.